Shout out to our sponsor, Shopify. Shopify is more than just a store. Connect with your customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/Funches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Funches to start selling online today. Shopify.com/Funches. Ooh, that's a great code. Hi, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for all those who watch the podcast. I truly appreciate each and every one of you so much. You help me. If you're listening to this the week you come out, I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana, starting Friday, Saturday, 13th through the 15th of October. Please come on by at the Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis. I'll be there. Also, we'll be in Austin, Texas at the end of October, 27th through the 29th with Blair Saki at Cap City. So come on by. Also, St. Louis Comedy Festival coming up in November, Chicago, Illinois, or Rosemont, Illinois for Zanies. I will be there as well, and that's going to probably wrap up the year. So come on by. Come say hello. Laugh with me. Joke with me. Have some fun. If you want to stay in and you still want to be friends with me, go to twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. Join the Funch Bunch. I just went to TwitchCon, had a great time, and learn more about streaming and why I like to do it and why communities and stuff is so fun and important. It's a Christ-free way for us to communicate, talk to each other, enjoy each other, play games, not play games, chit-chat, watch movies, whatever. If you want to hang, I just know when I was younger, if there was a way that I could hang out with one of my favorite comedians just online and shoot the shit and talk with them, I would do it. And so can you. Twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. Join the Funch Bunch. Come hang out. Loot, Apple TV Plus, Harley Quinn, HBO Max. You know what they are. Get at it. Go do it. Let's get into this podcast. Hey, happy Mental Health Awareness Day. It's very important. So important to take care of your mental health. And it's so nice to see people talking about it, being so open about it, because especially for people of color, it's always been a stigma around taking care of your feelings, taking care of yourself, taking care, realizing when you need help, and a stigma about talking to other people. And we need that, especially when you go through trauma in your life, whether it's in your childhood or the trauma that we have all gone through, if you've been alive in the past 6 years, that is something that you need to talk about someone, even if you don't feel you were as affected as someone else, even if you didn't lose someone to COVID, it stole years of our life. And if you don't have someone to talk to about stuff like that, it's for sure going to continue to add extra ramifications. And it goes from a situation hurting you to you yourself hurting yourself because you are refusing to do something about it. So please get out there, take care of your mental health. We'll talk about it more, but in order to do that, you know, one of the things I love is affirmations. Take care of my mental health. So I hope you're feeling strong. I hope you're feeling brave. Oh, I hope you're feeling loved, because I love you. I hope you're grateful for that love, not just throwing it away. I hope that you are taking care of yourself, not just for you, but for the people around you. I myself live in a house full of neurodiversity, brains that work different ways, and people who need specific sleep schedules or extra classes or a lot of extra different things. And you just have to be open and honest and helpful with these people, and also take charge of your own mental health, because it doesn't just affect you, which is first and foremost, it's just you being able to live your life without basically carrying extra weights on your back, you know, because that's what it is. And it can be different forms. You might need medication, you might need therapy, you might need a combination of the two, you might need to just focus on your diet and exercise, you might need a lot of different things. It takes a lot of work to maintain balance. But as we always say, balance is effort. It's not just remaining still. It looks effortless, but it's a lot of the work going on below the surface to stay balanced. And you got to do what you can to protect yourself, protect the family of people around you who will be concerned for you and care about you and love you. And just, gets, you know, it's very stressful if you were a caretaker, caregiver, or helpful of someone who's, you know, going through different issues. So you owe it to yourself. You owe it to the people around that you care about and you love, that want to see you at your best. And just overall, you just got to be kind to yourself. Know that everybody is going through stuff. Just because you have some issues doesn't mean you're broken or not wanted or not worthy of love. It just means you got a different character sheet. When you got put into the Fallout universe, your charisma was high and your, you know, volatility it was as well. This is important. One of the reasons why I started this podcast was to talk and be more honest and open about mental health, about my journey with mental health, about growing up. You know, I've grown up in an abusive household and then dealt with a toxic first marriage. And then my son is on the autism spectrum, and then the stuff that I deal with in my day to day now. So there's a lot of things going on. And I just hope that you are kind to yourself and sweet to yourself and just at the same time active and hold yourself accountable, because it's important. It's important to just give yourself a fighting chance and don't just defeat yourself and believe in yourself. And I'm sorry if this is a overly, you know, pump you up one of these, but I just think it's important on Mental Health Awareness Day to just be like, it's you. You're okay. You're good. You're sweet. It's okay to be different. It's okay to need time out. It's okay not to have this schedule that is very harsh. The way that we live, especially in America, is very harsh to people who are neurodiverse. And it's just okay to need something different. And that's fine. And if you are dealing with someone who, if you're in a relationship where someone has mental issues and they're like causing you, you know, there's a difference between causing stress and being abusive and things like that. And if you it gets to a point where you're being abused or you're being taken advantage of, you got to make sure you have your own clear boundaries and set yourself up to, you know, let you know that you can't save people. You can't help people who don't want to be helped, and you can't drag somebody with you. So you got to be. Sometimes you got to just set clear boundaries, and it sucks, but do what you got to do. Enjoy each other and be kind to each other out there, because it's just a harsh world and we need each other. So be sweet to each other. And let's get into this episode, which is a fun and unique and different one. It's one that people have been asking about. And we might as well, we thought, hey, we'll give it to you on Indigenous People Day. We'll give it to you on Canadian Thanksgiving, because it's a Canadian queen herself, a person that's helped make my life look better, a person who's got her own struggles and things that she's going on with. And it was a unique time to record because we hadn't been getting along. So and I told her, I was like, you can do it, but I'm not going to get on there and act like, oh, I'm one of these wife guys like John Mulaney or that guy from that podcast. No, I want you guys to, if we get divorced, I want you guys to be like, we saw it coming. He told us that there were problems. But who doesn't have some? I know every relationship does, and this is a chance for us to talk a little bit about our background, talk about what my wife is into, what she's got going on, the stress that we've got going on with Teddy's lack of sleep, and everything going on in our world. So if you ever wanted to meet a robot of your own, this is your chance. Here is our episode with my friend, my lover, my wife, robot Christina Funches. Enjoy it. right. So I think I'm going to start this in a little bit, in some ways like a normal podcast, but then also some ways like our couple therapy sessions that we had with Dr. Sarah, where I'm going to tell you the things that I like about you and why I want you on the podcast. In return, I'd like you to tell me some things that you enjoy about me. And then I'm going to tell you some reasons why I was apprehensive about having you on this podcast. And then I'll start interviewing you a little bit more for people who don't know you. They probably, there's an intro, so they probably know already, but you are a robot. My wife, Christina, who I've talked lovingly about and glowingly, so I'll continue to do so. Obviously, people can see you're very beautiful, which is always good and important. People don't like, why would you lead with that? But I'm a man and I still always lead with that. Beautiful life, beautiful wife, ugly life is the thing that I believe in. And that's just about what you think is attractive, too. It's not just any natural, just standardized form of beauty. But more than that, you're a very sweet person. You're very kind and loving to people. You have a lot of friends and are kind to your friends, and I think that's very important. You're very supportive of me, and I appreciate that. You've been very helpful with Malcolm, helping changing his diet and his life around, and making me feel more comfortable with traveling on the road and being away from him. And I think I told you that before, but one time when I was like, oh, I think I want to marry this lady, was when I was on the road and I hadn't thought about if Malcolm was okay for a full weekend. And I was like, I didn't have this feeling when he was with his biological mother. And so that's always something that was very important to me. And then just recently with Teddy, you've been just such a very on top of it, mom, and loving him. And he always is, I just think you can always judge your parenting by how good the baby looks. And he looks like a model baby. He's always in super clean clothes or wearing something new that cute. I never knew that we had purchased. And so I love that about him, that you're just always on top of him. And you have a lot of the things that I don't have. I think in some ways that's what like we like and draw towards each other. Mm-hmm. And the same things that annoy us about each other is that I am very laid back. A lot of things don't faze me to a point that you enjoy, and the things that you draw that draws you to me. But then also you get annoyed by it when something isn't bothering you and I don't seem as affected by it as you are. And in turn, you are very organized and on top of things. You make a lot of notes. You do a lot of text. You make a lot of you do like 6 pages of Google Docs for a party that we might throw. And I enjoy that because it keeps things on top of things. But then it also annoys me because it's overwhelming to me and I don't like that. And then we just, we had a baby, moving to a new house. I think our relationship has been to the best word I could describe it recently is fragile. And so I think that is good content. So that's a reason why I want you on the podcast and some of the reasons that I like about you.
Okay, well, that's a lot. I'll respond to the praise first, because I know a lot of your guests are always like, oh, like they can't take a compliment, but it's very sweet. And it's like for you to say that about my relationship with Malcolm is that's the best. It's a great thing to hear. So you want me to give you some praise?
Yes.
He likes praise. Yeah, we're kind of going through it right now. You mentioned that, talking about my looks, I just spent, 20 minutes trying to like look not tired because I haven't slept in weeks. And we're having some sleep issues with Teddy, and we're all very sleep deprived and we're all kind of just trying to survive right now. So it's been tough. And I think I'm always very flattered that people are, they seem very supportive of our relationship, and, they see the fun and they see this loving, the posts that we put on social media, they see all that kind of thing. But we have had some rough patches, and, like everybody else, it's not the first thing that you want to share. We Anyway, let me talk about what I love about you. So I think you're right. We complement each other really well. And you have a lot of qualities that I really admire. You are the most amazing father. And I think it's very clear the fact that you have full custody of Malcolm and you've had him for so long. I mean, that just shows what kind of a father you are. And you are a hard worker. You are kind and loving and caring. And we're very lucky, we get invited to a lot of kind of fun parties and events, and you work with a lot of cool people and you do a lot of cool things. And one of my favorite things is going to one of those parties and having someone come up to me and say, "I love your husband. He's the best." Because you are the best. You are, positive, and you see, in stressful situations, you have a calming presence about you. I think people sometimes think that you're, always this chill. And I know you don't love that, because you are a full rounded individual and you have flaws like everybody else. But I mean, above all, I love the kind-hearted person that you are. I love that you make things fun and you take care of this family. You are very protective of our family. I get very easily overwhelmed, and especially in, the past few months, we've had a lot of change. We've had, with the new baby, the new house, like things have been very overwhelming. I have a lot of, I worked as a nanny for many years, so I have a lot of experience with, babies, but not kind of like 6 months and up. I didn't know anything about newborns, and you have been there, and you were there a long time ago. And I think, maybe you've forgotten some of the things, like how challenging it is, but I kind of look to you for, I was worried. I'm constantly worried about the temperature in our house. And you said to me one day, if you say the word thermostat to me one more time, I'm going to flip out, because I'm constantly worried Teddy's the wrong temperature. I'm a new mom. I have those tendencies, and you're really good at like grounding me. And I think we complement each other really well in that way. Some of the challenges with our relationship, like, you are.
No, it's my turn to go to start with that, and then you get to go.
Wait, what?
You do just praise.
Oh, and just praise. Okay. And then, but you did some of the challenges.
I just was doing the general intro.
You
were like,
you make a lot of Google lists.
That was part of the praise.
That was part of the praise?
And it was both. It was a mix.
Okay. Well, but I think that's the thing, is like, it's a double-ended, like, we complement each other very well. And some of the things that I love most about you are some of the things that cause some of our conflicts.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Well, give let me tell all you your why problems
apprehensive
with me.
About no, it's not problems with you. I'll keep those still more private off camera.
Okay.
But what I'm apprehensive about having you on the podcast is that it feels that like our general I guess the way we view how we were going to do the podcast is switched. Cause I kept in the beginning of our relationship, I asked you often to be on the podcast, and you mm-hmm. didn't want to be on the podcast. And you said you just wanted to kind of be in the background, and maybe you want to do it one day, but you just wanted to do your own stuff. And then you were the one who was like, "Hey, Canadian Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm Canadian. Let's put me on the podcast." And I was like, "Wait, hold on now. Like, you've been in the background, you've been doing stuff, mm-hmm. and I like it. And I think, you know how much I love pro wrestling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the rules that they say in pro wrestling is the quickest way to lose your wife is to put her into business with you." And so I've been very apprehensive about just our business and our stuff out on Front mm-hmm. Street and just out for people to see. And then also at the same time, you, like you said, been very sleep deprived, and and for lack of a better term, we've just been kind of a lot of very snippy at each other. And it's been like, I was worried about coming on, because you know, like, I want to just be like, "I love her. She's the best. I love her." And then, but I want today, I would be like, "I don't, she cool."
I could, yeah, I would say the same about you today.
Yeah.
So, well, can I tell you why
sure.
I suddenly had a change of heart about the podcast? I think what I'm realizing is, you know, we had the baby, and it's really wonderful. We have found also because of you, I have met some really wonderful, kind, loving people in this city, which I think is kind of rare. Unfortunately, I think people have a misconception about me that I'm shy, but I'm actually just more private. Like I like to, you know, keep things about our relationship private, about Teddy private. Just cause like, first of all, I don't think anyone cares that much for us to share, but also, I'm trying to navigate like being, you know, a mom and like wanting to post photos online and like how much we want to share with your friends and that kind of thing. So I think what happens is people get glimpses into our life of the trips and the restaurants and the, you know, you talk, in your affirmations sometimes about like what you're going through and like, if you're doing really well and like, we just got this beautiful house. And I had been posting pictures of Teddy, and, I had a lot of, people, a lot of our friends who are parents reach out to me, and, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's so cute. He's great. And I just want people to know that we're going through some stuff right now. And I think, I'm noticing, like, you should see my DMs right now. It's all like parents being like, cause you know, we were having these sleep issues and I was just like, give me some advice. And like everybody behind the scenes, it's kind of like, you know, people posting the beautiful vacation photos and then not showing the fights that they're having behind the scenes or whatever. It's that with our family.
Oh, we've had
those large,
we've had arguments in several continents.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But like, who's going to post those? And I also don't like when people do that thing where they're like, here's a picture of me after a fight. And like, and you know that they've set up like a tripod and they've like been crying and like trying to get a picture to like, mm-hmm. be like, this is me being vulnerable. And I don't like that either, because mm-hmm. like you say, sometimes like, it's performative. It's, mm-hmm. so that's,
and not only is it performative, but for me, I'm just, if both are weird, cause like you said, I don't like pretending this thing where you're like, oh, my life is all great and everything is awesome. But I also feel like for me, at least, I look at social media as still like a photo book, and I'm not, mm-hmm. when you take your pictures in a photo book, for those who are old enough to remember what those are, it's not like you took pictures of your worst days
yeah.
and then put them in your photo book. You took pictures of your birthday. You took pictures of your favorite time. You took pictures when something was cool. And so that's what my Instagram is. And I just feel, especially, and then this, you know, gets even deeper because it gets racial to me, but like, I don't like to have my struggles, my pain, my traumas be other people's entertainment. Like mm-hmm. if I choose to share something with you because I've already gone through it and I've feel better about it, that's mm-hmm. one thing. But if I'm actively going through something, if I'm doing something, it just seems, because people do eat that up, but like, I don't like, I feel like that just kind of sets you up to kind of like just have to live in this cycle of like, woe is me, and like, let me mm-hmm. share every negative mm-hmm. thing that's happening in my life.
Mm-hmm. And I don't use Instagram like a normal person. I don't think I get very, like you said, I get very overwhelmed by things. You know, I can't be on there a lot because I get overwhelmed by messages. I have a private account because, you know, occasionally we will share a post. And we're very lucky because your fans are, and the people who follow you, like we don't get many negative comments or like, you know, like
no, people are just mostly pleasantly surprised that I'm not gay, or some people are upset, which I appreciate you.
You've done some pretty non-gay things to me, so I'm not concerned, but I feel like it's important to, like, the podcast is a place where you have guests on and they talk about their dark times and they talk about, you know, their struggles and like getting to where they, like, I love when you have guests on that are like very successful and then they'll be like, oh, but I went through a time when like, I didn't think anything was going to happen for me, because I've been there too. And I, like I said to you early on when you started the podcast, back when I was having a really rough time in my 20s, like I listened to podcasts exactly like Getting Better. I would have loved this podcast back then. It would have made me feel like I wasn't alone. And it's still to this day, out of all the things you do, the game shows, the movies, the, you know, everything that you get to do, the podcast is one of the things that I'm so proud of you for doing and continuing to put it out, because I think it's really important. And I've seen some of the messages from people. I've seen people say to you, like, I look forward to your affirmations every week. And I know sometimes you feel silly posting them and being vulnerable like that, but like, you know, like we get these beautiful letters from people, emails, messages, whatever. Nobody writes snail mail to us. I don't want people to think that, but, we see messages and comments from people about, I have a son with autism, and that's, or I listen, I'm trying to pursue this crazy dream of mine. I want to be an actor. I want to be a comedian, and it's not happening. I'm really stuck. And I listen to your affirmations every week. And now because of it, I'm starting comedy, or, you know what I mean? So, it's, I think, one of the best things that you do.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're one of the reasons why I continue to do it. Cause there's been often times where I'm like, it doesn't make money. It doesn't do anything. Why don't I just not do it anymore and do more of the things that make money? Well, I appreciate, there's just certain things that, I think once you go that route, you're just creating content, not making art. And sometimes making art is just doing the thing that you want to do, even if it doesn't connect with a wide audience. And so I really like doing the podcast, and you know, for the people who enjoy it, the reason why it still exists is a lot because of you. So, I want to talk a bit about, cause you talked a little bit about the positives about being for people who don't know, we can talk a little bit about your background. Like you said, you came from a small Canadian town, very small amount of people, under a thousand, right?
Population.
Yeah. And when did your love of comedy start, and what made you want to come start visiting in LA?
I grew up in a really small town in the deep north. And my parents were very young when they had me, and they were, working class people. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a truck driver. They were like 20 when they had me, kind of like you and Malcolm. And so they were always working, and I spent a lot of time just kind of playing by myself, like in the forest. And it's like a beautiful place to grow up. I loved being able to, play out in the trees with my dog, and, but I spent a lot of time alone, and I was, my house was very chaotic, and I had my great grandma actually raised me. She was the most important person in my life from the time, because my mom was going to nursing school, and my grandma was, like my primary caregiver. We lived out in the forest. She lived in town, and we only had like three channels for the first, until I was in high school, I guess. But my grandma lived in town, and she had cable. So I would go to her house on Friday night, and I would stay there. I would get bags of candy from the little corner store, and I would stay on her couch from Friday until Sunday night and just watch all the TV. Like, I'm talking everything, and I loved sitcoms. I just, I watched everything, like Golden Girls and Wings and Cheers and, Grace Under Fire, like just everything. And I just loved it so much. And it was so comforting to me. And like, we've talked about that, how you also had when you were a child, TV was really comforting to you.
Yeah. We talked about on podcast before, one of my traumatic to fun memories is that, just being and my house and the
this I was is gonna home make alone. Me cry. This makes me tear up every time think of it.
Just home alone, power went out, something happened bill wise or fuse wise, and my mom and my sister weren't home. I was home alone, and the only light was working was in the kitchen, and I pushed the fridge out of the way and plugged in my little tiny portable black and white TV and watched I Love Lucy until my mom came home, and it made me feel better, and I've been Lucille Ball fan ever since. That's my main one, and it's also one of the reasons why we got together, right?
Because
when we first met, you know, we met on Bumble, and I didn't know if you were a real person, hence the name Robot was your thing, because you only had one picture on your profile, mm-hmm. and you also talked like a robot when you
I didn't talk like a robot.
And your first message was, I've been looking for a gentleman whole time, and one has appeared.
Okay.
That's how a robot would talk.
That's not it. I distinctly remember when we messaged each other. I actually have the messages saved. Your profile said something.
Chill gentleman.
Something gentleman on it.
Yeah.
So I was watching.
Fun dad, chill gentleman.
Yes. So I had just made a profile. Look, I got down here. I mean, we're jumping a bunch of things, but basically I ended up coming down here. I was house sitting for somebody for an extended period of time. And I was trying to write, and I was trying to do other things. And I had this opportunity to house sit, and I was down here, and I was very lonely. I was like starved for like female friendship primarily. But I thought, well, if I'm here for an extended period of time, I might as well like sign up, go on the apps and see what's out there. And also at the same time, I should mention, you know, I had one or two friends here, but I would just go to, I got down here and I couldn't believe that you could go to the Comedy Store and like see people that I listened to on podcasts and watched on TV. You could just go see them up close for like $15. And I was like, how come nobody's talking about this? This place is incredible. It was like Disneyland to me. And I got here and I was begging people like every night. I was living in a guest house in the Palisades. So it's really far from the Comedy Store. And I would beg people like, do you want to go to a comedy show tonight? Like, please go with me. And sometimes like I even went like alone a couple of times. So I'm a huge comedy fan, and I knew who you were. I had seen when I was down here, I actually went to see you, among other people in the lineup, but like, you were at the Improv, I believe, one night. And, I was there with a friend and we saw you. This was maybe like September or something. And then a few months later, I had signed up for Bumble, and I remember I was just living in the guest house. I was so unhappy because I was so lonely. And I'm like, I should also mention that Bumble had a thing at the time called Bumble BFF. Did you know about that?
No.
It's like it's a part of Bumble where you could just find friends. And I was like, I went on that first because I was like, oh, I could find like a woman to hang out with and like, I don't like shopping. I don't know why I said that. I could find a woman to like, you know, go with me to shows or just get brunch or something. And so I'm like looking on Bumble BFF and I'm like, oh my God, these people are all losers. Like, they don't have any friends here. And I was like, wait a minute, wait, that's me. Yeah. Like, I'm trying.
Yeah, I feel like if you reach the point that you go on Bumble BFF,
right?
It's a.
So, and the thing was that they were people that like, you know, their husband had moved here for a job, and it was like a mom with a small baby who didn't know anybody. But all I was thinking was like, if you're on a dating app and you're looking for a romantic partner and you get rejected, it's like, okay, they didn't find you attractive or whatever. If I get rejected on Bumble BFF because somebody doesn't want to be friends with me, like, I was like, I don't think I can take that.
Yeah, that is a more painful rejection.
Suck. Anyway, so.
But you really also helped paint the picture of why our beginning of our relationship was apprehensive, because you go like, I'm moving. I live here in this thing in a guest house. I'm lonely. I know who you are.
Yeah. So that's the other thing is I think people. So anyway, what happened was we matched on Bumble. I'm sitting in this stupid little guest house and I'm like, is that like Ron Funch's picture? Like, I know who he is. I don't even know if that's actually him. So we start messaging. And I remember I was like watching the I didn't know how to talk to you because I was like, I'm not doing anything. I have nothing to say. I don't want him to know that I'm like a nanny and just hanging out here and I'm a loser. And so I looked at your profile, said the gentleman thing. So, and then I remember because I was watching like the Grammys at the time, and I don't even watch the Grammys. It just happened to be on. And I was like, oh, I'll tell him I'm like watching the Grammys and like, maybe he'll think that's cool or something.
Not at all.
It was so bad. So I messaged you and I was like, cause you know, most people reach out and they're just like, hi. And then you're like, hi. And then it goes. So I was like, oh, hi. A nice gentleman right here or something stupid. Like, something kind of awkward. I get why it was probably off-putting. and then so we started talking and you were like very quickly asked me on a date. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think this is the guy. And you were like, you don't have any other like I literally had just put up a profile. I had dated a couple people down here, but not on the apps. So you were my first and only app date, which so right there, that's like an exception to the rule, you know? But you asked me if I wanted to, what was our first date was the dinner date. Mm-hmm. And you said to me, well, I will take you. I would like to take you out to dinner. I think you're a robot, but like, I'll see if you meet up with me in person.
Yeah, you had a good bikini picture in your Instagram.
I did have, yes, I had all the makings of a perfect Instagram. Like, again, I had just started on Instagram. And if you look now, you can see that picture because I only have maybe 30 posts or something on my Instagram. So it's there. The one, so I sent in my Instagram and I was like, yeah, sure. You can check it out. I have the bikini picture. I've got a picture of me with my friends. I've got the ones you need to know that I'm a real person. Mm-hmm. So you very quickly said like, well, I'd like to take you out on a date and find out if you're a real person. And we're going to go to this restaurant because even if the date is really bad, this is my favorite restaurant and I'll like enjoy the meal.
Yeah. That was my MO at the time in dating. On any first date, I would go to Connie and Ted's on Santa Monica because I liked it. And I was like, well, even if I have a horrible conversation and don't like this person, I can get a delicious fish and good meal. Can we talk about notifications for a second? Does anybody leave those sounds on anymore? I don't. I've been ignoring every phone call, text, and anything I get. But there's one sound I do like. Uh-oh, there it is. There it go. That's why I like to hear music to my ear. The sound of money coming in. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Whether your thing is vintage t-shirts or recipes from whatever you want. Just a homemade thing your grandma makes. Selling things on Shopify. Join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you create an online store with your vibe, with your style. Discover new customers. Grow. Get bigger. Ooh-wee. That's what you need. The world is yours. Everybody got to diversify. There's no reason to be working out here on that 9-to-5. Even if you got a 9-to-5, throw something extra on top of it. Shopify has sales channels sorted so that your business keep growing from an in-person point-of-sale system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram, because your business has got to be everywhere. They have 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content. Shopify's got you every step of the way. So get at them. You got to start your own business. You know, I got my own business. I've been a business. I have my own business. We are in about 13 years of growing and getting better. And I wish Shopify was there from the beginning when I had to go out and find other places, partner up with people, find different websites and stuff. It was a big hassle, but you don't got to do that anymore. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/funches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/funches to start selling online today. shopify.com/funches.
And so I showed up for the date and we were both, I think, a little scared of each other. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, cause my friend Beth at home, I was like, yeah, I have a date. I think it's with this comedian guy and we'll see like how it goes. And she's like, well, at some point, just like go in the bathroom and like text me and like tell me how it's going. So we were sitting at the table and we're talking, and like, I was nervous. And I had nothing going on. I just felt so lonely. And like, I was like, what am I going to talk to this guy about? So I kind of in my head had some like talking points, and I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, so I was like, so, do you like, sports, or, you know, like we're talking like that, and you were making fun of me and you were like, have you been on a date before? And then at one point I was like, so, you have a son, like, do you like, you like hanging out with him on the weekends? And you were like, no, I don't like hanging out with my son. Like you were just so, such a jerk. And so I went in the bathroom and I texted Beth and I was like, I mean, it's okay. It's going fine. I don't know. We'll see. So then, I love this though, because, okay, this is like my magical, like, comedy store romance story that I like, because, you know, like I'm such a huge comedy fan and I love the store and it's like my favorite place in the world. And you had a set there that night after our date. And you were like the dinner went okay. And so you were like, well, do you want to come to the comedy store with me? And I'm like, oh, should I go? Should I say yes? Because I don't want to like maybe he's just asking to be nice, but also I want to like play it cool. I don't want to like go to his work with him. Like maybe I should end the date on a high note. But we were having a good time. And I lived in Vancouver a very long time. I love walking and nobody here likes to walk. So I was like, oh, it's a really nice night. Is it close? Like, could we walk there? And you were like, yeah, I guess we can. So we walked from Connie and Ted's up to the comedy store. And I was like, yeah, I'll just get an Uber from there. And you were like, we had talked at some point about how I was like a big fan of David Spade. Yeah. This is why he won't let me near David Spade. But I just think David Spade's hilarious. And I had been talking to you about some of the comedians that I like, and David Spade happened to have a set that night, mm-hmm. I guess, after you. So we were standing outside the store and you were like, do you want to come in? Like, cause, you know, David Spade was on the, what do you call it?
The bill.
So I was like, okay, Christina, I was like, just play it cool. So I'm like, okay, no, actually I should get going. And then you were like, okay. So you go in and like, I get in the Uber. I'm like, okay, I guess that went fine. And you texted me like maybe 10 minutes later. Mm-hmm. And you were like, you probably should have stayed, like David Spade's back here. And, or his manager or somebody like that. And I was like, okay, I think he's still interested, mm-hmm. because I got the text, you know?
Yeah, no, I remember. And I was also, again, where I was confused because I was like, delay likes comedy too much. Is she a groupie? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then she let me take her to the comedy store. And part of my thing was like, let me show her I'm funny, but also let me see how many people know her at the comedy store.
And the thing that's so funny is, I went to the comedy store all the time, and I'm like, obviously, like I didn't realize when I came here, okay, like I'm fine, right? Like I'm comfortable with the way I look. I think I'm like generally attractive, but I was like, I'm in LA. Like all these guys are dating like models and actors and like, you know, nobody's interested in me. And so I would be going to the store as like a fan and I'd be so excited and I'd just be like, I love comedy. And of course, like the male comedians, like if you, this is also, was this pre-Me Too, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was basically like, I was down here, like kind of wide eyed, like small town girl being like, oh my God, like I can see Bill Burr and I can see like, like Bobby Lee's there, like, you know, just like random people that I've seen on TV. And you can like, you have access to them. You can go talk to them. And I was actually excited. I went there one night and Whitney was performing and she, you know how I've always loved Whitney Cummings, and she like, you know, I listened to her, I had just listened to her book on like audiobook, and I went to the store and I remember, I think it was Dean Del Rey was in the back hallway and I was like, oh, I just want to say hi to Whitney. And he was like, yeah, just wait back here because like she has to come out this way and she's not here often because she's really busy. So I like waited in the back hallway and she came out and I was like, Whitney, I was like, you, like, I love you. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm like probably freaking you out. Like, I loved your book and I'm just like so excited. I just wanted to meet you. So I did that with Whitney, but I also would do that with, like, you know, I'm trying to think of at the time, but like if I was hanging out in the back hallway, like the male comedians would be hitting on me. And there's like, you know, I used to go with some friends, and if you are a, you know, if you're trying to get with a comedian, I can tell you how to do it. You don't need, because I have friends who, you know, we go to the show and then you would, like, after the show, if you like added somebody on Instagram, like these guys are like watching for it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, fishing. Yeah. Because, so like, you don't need Raya or anything like that. You go to the Comedy Store. This is how you do it. and they will like, they will message you and stuff. And like, I was very honest with you early on that I had been on a couple of dates with comedians who had asked me out at the store, or they had messaged me. And I wanted you to know, because the comedy community is actually very small. And I told you that early on, that like, I was looking for a relationship, and these men were not, they were not kind to me. And, I think you were apprehensive, because you were like, does she just date comedians? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, like, I was in a 7-year relationship with a DJ for, yes, 7 years. I had a night, you know, we had problems and everything, but I was in a serious relationship. I came down here. I dated, maybe a couple different guys while I was down here. They happened to be comedians, because that's where I was going. That's where I was. And it's like, kind of like, you know, some women like dating athletes or whatever. I like nerdy, like comedy guys. And I really put it out there that I wanted a relationship, and they were not, you know, they're not into that. Like, they can easily date around. And also, by the way, like, these guys are all like kind of like awkward nerds, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so when I was like, oh, they date models and they date actors, like, not really. Like, they could, maybe.
Just Eric Andre.
Eric Andre and David Spade does pretty well. And but I was very upfront with you from the beginning, that I had dated a couple people that, you know. Mm-hmm. And you said to me, like, I think you thought, based on some of our conversations, me just being like, oh, so you go out, or like, what?
What's your entourage?
I didn't ask you that.
You said that exact word.
I never used the word entourage.
You certainly used the word entourage.
I absolutely did not. What I said to you was, okay, our second date, we did a stupid LA date. We went walking in Runyon Canyon.
It was fun.
It was very fun. Actually, we went to Meltdown right before it was torn down, right? Mm-hmm. So we actually kissed in the back of Meltdown, which was very romantic.
Was,
because we were going to Runyon Canyon, and I like hiking, but I don't like that there aren't bathrooms readily available, because I like to be well hydrated. And we met up, you had parked at the bottom, and I was like, oh my God, I need to pee before we go for a walk. And you were like, oh, I'll take you to Meltdown. And like, Meltdown to me was like, I listened to the Nerdist podcast, and I listened to all that kind of stuff. So I was so excited to go there, and you kissed me in the back room of Meltdown, and it was like very nerdy and romantic.
Yeah.
But I did not use the word entourage. When we came out of there, what I said to you was, do you get recognized often? Because I was genuinely curious. I was like, does he get recognized? And what happened was, you were like, no, I don't. Cause I think you were like, oh, she's trying to like date me, cause she knows like I've been on TV and I get recognized and stuff. So right after you said no, we're not even at the trail. And a guy, like, I think it was maybe an unhoused person, but by a dumpster. Do you remember he yelled at you and he was like, hey, funny man. Mm-hmm. And I was like, see, you do get recognized. And then on that walk, you got recognized several times, including at the top when some guys asked you for a picture. And so I was like, okay, you get recognized. Like, just admit it. And then we're at the top, and yeah, you were kind of being a sarcastic jerk for a lot of that walk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if I'm interested in this guy. And we got to the top, and I will never forget this moment, because it was when I decided that I might like to date you seriously. There was like a bench, and I've been there since. There's a bench at the top of Running Canyon, and we like sat on the bench, and you had asked me what was going on with me. And I was like, well, I'm lost right now. Like, you know, I want to be a writer, and I don't know if I'm good enough to be. And like, I came down here, and I'm a nanny. Like, I'm like a 32. How old was I at the time? 32. Mm-hmm. It's like a 32 year old babysitter. And like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And I'm just like kind of stressed out. And you were like, oh, that sucks. Whatever.
that pretty much was my reaction.
Yeah. And then I said to you, how are you? And you were just like, the sun was shining down on you, and you were looking out over the canyon, and you were just like, I'm good. And I was like, what do you mean you're good? Like, you don't have any grievances to air with me? Like, and I knew, like, at this point, we had talked about you have a son with autism. You had a very, you've been through some really heavy things to get to this point, and you work really hard. And I mean, but just having your son, that's a lot of stress. And you are choosing to be positive, and you are choosing to, you know, just look for the light in things. And I had never met anyone that was so, you know, everyone's just complaining and, you know, this and that. And you were just grateful to be where you were at. You told me that you'd like to travel to Australia someday, and we ended up doing that. You told me, about some of your acting goals and things like that. And I just thought, like, you know, even if we don't date, I just, like, being around somebody like that, that would be really good for me right now, because I'm really going through it. And so we had that date, and then I got a text from you a few days later, and you said, also, this was another reason that we ended up staying in touch, but you passed on me. And I think a lot of people don't know that, but we had a third date planned, and it was around, it was actually kind of close to Valentine's Day. So it was a little bit awkward, I guess. And we had that date planned, and we were going to just go to dinner or something. And you sent me a text a couple days before that date. And you said, and this is in the age of ghosting and doing all those horrible things. You sent me a text, and it was just like, you know, I just want you to know, I think you're really wonderful. You're really great. But, I have been dating other people on these apps, and I met somebody, and I think I want to start a relationship with her. And, you know, I'm really sorry, but I just wanted you to know that. And, of course I was like, that fucking guy, like I was pissed that I got rejected, and I'm like talking to all my friends about it. And, you know, we're looking at your Instagram, like, who is this woman? Like, there was a picture of you and Melanie on there at the time. My friends were like, fuck that guy. Like, and who is this? Is this the girl? And we thought Melanie was the girl. Melanie's like adorable, but we were like, you know, what a bitch. Like, and they were just like, you know, I can't believe you do that, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, you know, that's a nice thing to do. Like, you know, cause a lot of my friends were dating people and they just disappear. You wouldn't hear from them, but you took the gentleman approach. And you told me, you know, I appreciated our time together, but this is the deal. This is why you're not hearing from me. So it was like a really gentle way to pass on me, but I was mad. And then a couple months later, we had kept in touch over, I guess, Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. And just like, we're sending each other joke stuff or whatever. And I was like, you know, it's fine. And I was back and forth between here and Vancouver. And I remember I was sitting in the Starbucks in Yale Town, like on right on Seymour and Nelson. And I got a message from you that was like, hey, are you still in LA? And I was like, why is that fucking guy messaging me? And I messaged you back, and I was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't know what this is about. Like, he obviously like didn't want to date me. Maybe he just wants to be friends. I don't know. So we started talking again. And then, you know, you were like, are you still available? Cause, my other thing didn't work out so well. And if it wasn't for the way that you had gently called things off, I wouldn't have answered your text at that point.
Yeah, no, that's a learned lesson from prior relationships. I think a lot of people, especially a lot of guys, when you ghost, it just seems simpler. I think it only takes like one or two like extreme reactions where you go like, oh, well, it's easier for me to just ghost than to have somebody try to key my car or like yell at me or whatever.
To send you know? You a bunch of texts. And like, yeah. Ron told me yesterday that I was texting our nanny like a crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, you were.
Because I sent her one too many bubbles.
It was like 20
I was
texts.
Trying to give her instructions so that I didn't have to speak to her in person when she got here. No, I have PM. Had to say...
She wasn't on the clock.
Yeah, but when she comes, it
saves
time.
I don't like getting 20 texts when I'm not on the clock.
If you have a baby, then you know that there's a lot of questions. And I have put systems in place right now so that our lovely nanny, if she has any questions, she can refer. That's why I have Google Keep. If anybody needs help getting organized, ooh, that's my favorite app. And it's like it's a reference, you know, of Teddy's information. So she's like, well, like how much does Teddy eat right now? Like, you know, and she can just look up feeding and it's right there. Mm-hmm. Or she can wake me up because people keep telling me like sleep when the baby sleeps. And I mean, if you have a screaming baby in your home and you're breastfeeding, you can't just, you know, so I've set these systems in place anyway. So Ron tells me I was texting her like I was a crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, you were. And it's just lessons I learned from previous ex-girlfriends or and my mom. My mom was always, she had always put it in me. She's like, a lot of men think they're like the end all be all in your life. And that if you turn them down, that it's going to like destroy their lives. And she's like, it's just not that way. It's just like, I just rather know than have somebody. He said, the worst than rejecting a woman, the worst thing you can do is waste her time waste her years and youth. And so I had learned very early, like, oh, it's just better to do like that. And also then you never know how things work out. So like, it's just better to keep the door and options open.
Well then maybe I'm the sucker for being like, yeah, okay, I'm still available. I got nothing going on.
But on my end, like you said, like I was just apprehensive. I have my son and just very worried about being like, oh, I don't want to introduce something in my house to someone who is attracted to this lifestyle more than she is me. And that was a big part of my concern at that point. And you're just a weird woman. So, like, you had to learn to be more affectionate. You had to, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, because, and this is the thing, is like, what you don't see, what men don't see is that a woman, like, you know, I've been through it. My friends have been through it. We've been treated so poorly by men in the past that it's really hard to just set that aside and open yourself up to a new relationship. And especially, you know, with you, like, I think one of the things that really helped us was, I mean, you know, when we eventually did get back to dating, and I know because the next date that we had set was at that restaurant in Brentwood. We don't remember. I remember. I just don't remember the name of the restaurant. But I distinctly remember when I realized that you were hooked on me was I would, because I, you had set this date and I was out looking for an outfit to wear on the date. We hung out at the house before that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we had this time at the house where we were just very honest about what we were looking for. And I think that helped.
Was my favorite one because this was where we just watched I Love Lucy and Golden Girls. And
you had just filmed your special as well. And I brought you the cupcakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were healthy.
I don't think they were healthy.
They're healthy.
They had Lucy on them.
They had Lucy on them and they showed care.
Well, I, you know, I wanted to, you had invited me that was the other thing was like, I got to play this. I don't know how interested he is, but you had invited me to go with you to a dinner to celebrate after you had filmed the special. And it was with your manager and your assistant and your close friends, a very close circle. And you had invited me. And I said, like, I don't think that's appropriate for me to go because I wasn't with you when you were working on this material, when you filmed this thing. Like, you know, we can go on another date, but like, that's for you and your, the people that were there supporting you during that time. And I also just thought it might be awkward for me because like people would be kind of looking at me like, who is that? So I said no. And then we hung out at the house instead and we shared, our favorite episodes of Lucy and Golden Girls. And we also talked about like what we were looking for in a relationship. And then we had another date set. And I said to you, well, I think, you know, we had a date planned for a couple days later to go to dinner. And I was literally out looking for something to wear on this date because I was nervous. Because I, at this point, I was like, I like this guy. And so I had no clue. I hate shopping. And I just, you know, anybody that knows me well knows I would love for someone to just dress me. So I'm like stressing out because I'm like, I want to look really good for this date. So I'm like over at the stupid, what's that outdoor mall in Santa Monica? Mm-hmm. Like the Promenade or something. So I'm over there and I'm like trying to find something cute to wear. And so I wasn't answering my text. So by the time I pulled out my phone, I had, I don't know, like 10 missed texts from you being like, look, if you're not really into this, then fine. Like, I don't, like, it was like you were losing it a little bit.
Yeah, I got issues with people think that I don't think people want to actually be around me or I mean, just trust issues, I guess.
Yeah. And I was literally, the only reason I wasn't answering your text was because I was trying to find a cute outfit to wear on our date.
Yeah.
So I could tell at that point, I was like, okay, he's on board with this. So then,
no, it's my turn. I ask you questions.
Oh yeah. Go ahead. Is this your podcast? I forgot.
You just talking like you talking to me.
You told me to just pretend like we're having a conversation. This is what happened. Okay. You asked me.
You don't have to tell people the whole timeline of our relationship.
I think it's important because I was going to talk about the not hooking up.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you a different question because we don't have too much more time.
Oh, okay.
It's almost been an hour already.
What?
Yeah.
I'm so sleep deprived that like it feels like we've been talking for like 20 minutes.
No, like 50.
Okay.
I want to talk to you because you talk now because I wanted to set up that background to really talk about more about you and not just our relationship and but I will start it by basing it on our relationship. You talk about a lot of the positives about like being in this world that I have that I had been working on for a while of, you know, comedy and building these relationships and doing these fun things. But I also know that that's not the easiest transition for you. So you talk to me about some of the things that are negatives about it. And also I feel like in particular, I know it's just because you also have these dreams of being a writer and working in entertainment. I think some of those dreams have shifted in the way that you want to pursue them. But I think that like you come out here and like you see the fruits of like 16 years of my work and you like it, but you're also in some ways you're like, oh, I want my own thing. I want to build my own stuff. And I think it's created some conflict in our relationship sometimes, just as far as like, maybe sometimes you, I don't want to say you feel less than, but you feel, you said that you feel less accomplished than the people that you're around.
Okay. Yeah. I can talk about that. The thing is that I've always kind of felt like I'm behind like everybody. I've kind of always been late to the game on things. Like, you know, for example, and this is, some of this is my own fault because I've allowed the opinions of other people to stop me from doing things that I want to do. So like, for example, when I was in high school, kind of all through my childhood, I was always like the dorky sidekick of the popular girl. I kind of just like clung to, you know, for protection, clung to her. And I was always like kind of jokey. And, you know, and I wanted to do, you know, I played sports, but I had kind of friends in all different groups and I wanted to like be in the drama club, and they were kind of very cliquey. And I was like, you know, I don't know how my, what my friends are going to think about that, but I would love to be in a play. Like, I just wanted to do that. And it took me till my last year of high school to audition for a play. I won a Best Actress Award, by the way, but it took me a long time to do that because I was letting, you know, I was worried about what other people would think. And, you know, I don't want to be an actor anymore. That's fine. But I have always wanted to be a writer. Like, as long as I have known that that was like a thing that people do, like, write, I wanted to write in TV. That was what I was working on in Vancouver. And I've written some, you know, pilots, and I've written a couple of features, and I got some attention of people down here and that kind of thing. And I mean, that's a whole other story, but, basically I ended up down here and I was trying to get a special talent visa so that I could live here. And that's really friggin' hard to get. Even, like, if you're Canadian, and I think people will tell you, we have friends, who are very successful in Canada that had a really hard time crossing over to, you know, here. I mean, we've got the big ones like Seth Rogen and, like, you know, people who are killing it. But then we have people who, you know, we know that worked at Much Music in Canada and, like, did a lot of comedy and stuff there. And it's really hard to get one of those visas. So I just wanted to be here so badly that I asked my parents if I could go to school down here, and it was too expensive for me to do that. So I went to school in Vancouver, 'cause I was like, they film stuff in Vancouver. Maybe I can be a writer there. But that, they film stuff in Vancouver, they don't write anything there. So it took me years of being a nanny and writing, kind of like, I worked for this kind of on-call service where I would go and, like, put a baby to bed at the Four Seasons, and I would just write and I'd write. And I would have people say to me, like, oh, you're trying to go to LA? Like, do you know anybody there? Like, how are you going to get there? Blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know anybody. So I started listening to podcasts and I started reading about it. And I listened to the Nerdist Writers Panel a lot, and I would come down here and I'd go to writers events and I'd make connections, but I couldn't meet anyone. You know, I was trying to be like, oh, I'll just sell a feature. Like, somebody will help me sell a feature and then I'll get this stupid visa. What ended up happening is I met you, and you were very established down here already. You had worked hard for many, many years to get where you were at. And, you know, you early on kind of said to me, like, I have access to people, but I can't do the work for you. You have to do that yourself. And it was making me feel like, you know, because we ended up getting married, I just got my green card. I am now just able to work. Then we had Teddy. And I feel like sometimes, you know, I'm very proud to be your wife. I love that people know me because I'm your wife. And we have a beautiful life here. And, you know, I now have decided, I don't think I want to work in a TV writer's room. I would love to be able to work from my home office when Teddy's a little bit older and write and do some things. And we have surrounded ourselves with, kind of just like really great people, like Maureen and, you know, like, just
one lung,
he's killing it. And, we have a really beautiful life, and we have really wonderful people around us. And, my priorities have kind of shifted, but at the same time, it's like, I need something for myself, and I want to be able to stand on my own as a writer. And you, like, early on, like, you set up meetings for me. And I don't want people thinking that I got something because I'm married to you. I want to be able to prove myself. And, like, it's really, it's hard because I'm 38 and I had a baby late in life, and we have wonderful friends around us that are also have babies, and they have, they've pursued their creative dreams, and I'm a little bit behind. And, ideally what I would love is for people to know that I, you know, like early on when I sent you some of my writing, it was worse than sending a nude and waiting for a response. It was like, I sent off, he was like, let me read some of your stuff. And I sent it and I was in Beth, my friend Beth's kitchen. And I was like, oh my God. And you replied to me and you said, you're just as talented as I thought you would be. And it was like, I needed to hear that because I didn't know where I stood in relation to what everybody else was doing down here. So at some point, I mean, my dream right now is that you know, I think you want to start a production company maybe, or, you know, you've talked about doing things like that. I would love to be able to, you know, work behind the scenes doing stuff with that and, maybe collaborate with some of the people that we know. And like, I went to film school. My film school was not, I have a sociology degree and then I went to film school and it was like kind of a bust and I didn't get that, that peer group that you need to like make things. And I got that because I married you. I met through you. I met these wonderful people that, you know, maybe I could collaborate with someday and, or help them out on their projects and eventually write something of my own. But right now I'm so happy to be a mom. I love staying at home, but it's hard because everybody's doing pretty well and getting things. And I haven't started that part of my life yet. And I'm 38, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've put in work, you know, just, I've kept writing this entire time, but, I don't have credits. I don't have anything like that. And yeah, so that's just something that I'm like, you know, I would like to write a book of essays or something someday, or, you know, do stuff like that. But right now I am so happy. I mean, in Canada we get a year maternity leave, and here, like, you know, I'm so lucky that because of how hardworking you are and how talented you are, that I get to stay home with Teddy and that we get help. And, ideally, you know, when he's a little bit older, I would like to be able to write from my home office and do some of my stuff that I want to do.
That's perfect segue. I mean, I don't want to, cause like, you know, especially if you were another guest, I'd be like, well, this is you can do it. And if people start all different times, but you're my wife, so I can't be like lecture you, you know? So I just gotta let you feel your feelings and just be like, as I always tell you, you know, I get that 100%. And you are very funny and you are very talented. And a lot of people don't, I think you can do a lot of things. And I'm sorry that you feel that way. And
I mean, but can I just say at the same time though, like, you know, it's like from that Chris Rock special, we talk about that a lot. Mm-hmm. It playing the tambourine for you. I will play the tambourine for you right now because you are, and the thing is, I mean, this might get me in trouble. I am all for feminism, but I do enjoy being a mom and I do enjoy, you know, being able to stay home right now.
You like being taken care of.
I mean, you know, that's not true. I just love our life right now. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to support you and what you do. Mm-hmm. And I think if, you know, we talk about having a family business, mm-hmm. and, I guess what people don't see is like kind of behind the scenes, I help out with, you know, until Teddy was born, I was helping out with the podcast and I was doing kind of things behind the scenes. So I still have time, I believe, to do these things, but right now I'm just very happy with our life and mm-hmm. I feel very grateful. And,
That's cool. Yeah. I love that. It's a good position to be in. And I think, like sometimes you don't know what you think you want these things and you don't know until you like try different relationships, what you actually need. Now with time, I was like, oh, I want for, you know, I wanted to date
like female comedians and stuff, but mm-hmm. I never, which I was lucky I never did, because it's great because now no one writes material about me, so that's amazing.
Oh yeah, you would.
Yeah,
you
would get shitty. It, sure. Yeah, so now I just got a good reputation, so that's good. Mm-hmm. So which I would not have had if we were dating. But I learned, you know, especially with Malcolm and being a single dad stuff, like I was like, oh, I don't need someone who's just as busy as me. I need mm-hmm. someone who can be supportive and be home and who can remind me to do things that I don't remember. And so that's been very helpful. And at the same time, like I said, I've always been a big proponent of like, you got to have that your happiness can't be dependent on me. Mm-hmm. It has to be dependent on what you, I'm here to add to your happiness, mm-hmm. not to be your happiness. And I just think it's a balance we deal with, but it's a perfect segue into what we like to do since we got to end soon, is the goals. Mm-hmm. What are you working on? What you working towards? What you want to do? So if you know, be open and honest about your health goals and your relationship sure. goals and your career goals.
Well, the goal right now, like I said, we're kind of going through it with Teddy right now. I want to be a good mom, to Teddy. I want to support you and, just, you know, I have kind of things that I want to do, you know, should I do like health goals, I guess?
Sure.
So right now, I mean, a lot of my fitness goals, I don't have fitness goals right now. That's the thing. I love working out and I over the years I'm pretty proud of the relationship that I've developed with my body and with food and working out and that kind of thing. But right now, I can't work out because I haven't slept in weeks and I'm trying to make sure that I'm eating enough to breastfeed, and it's a lot. And so, you know, my goal is to like get us back on track so Teddy and I can go for our daily walk. And you know, my goal is more to like put my fitness stuff aside right now and just kind of focus more on my mental health and as far as like, creative goals, I'd love to get my office. I'm very lucky. We have space for me to have my own office, and I would like to get that ready to go. And when Teddy
is, we got two offices.
We got some offices. We do. Mine is full of stuff right now, and it's really stressing me out. The baby came, what, five? No. My water broke 5 days after we moved into this house. So we haven't had time to get organized or anything. When Teddy is sleeping better, I would love to have a couple days to write, to work on things. And I'd like to, I have a feature that I would like to finish. I'd like to help you collaborate with you on some things, but we've talked about that we're not maybe... Your writing style and my writing style are very different.
Completely different.
We've done some things together that turned out really well, but
yeah,
like
but
I need
but
to
separately.
I need
you have
silence.
To pass notes. Yeah, we can't work in a room together.
I'm actually I love that. That's one of my favorite things is when you let me in on a project that you're working on and then I can give you notes and kind of help you with that.
Yeah,
but we can't write in the same room. Like there's no way because you have music like you and Gabe. When I found out your writing process, I was like, I need to be in a library. I need total silence. And you guys are like playing video games and like smoking weed and listening to music. And I'm like, how do they get anything?
That's
done?
How you make comedy. By being joyful.
We have different styles for sure.
You do make comedy in a airplane vacuum where you like,
oh, I literally listen to airplane. Like what's that called? Like the ambient sound mm-hmm. of like one of my favorite playlists is just like the sound of being on a plane. Mm-hmm. And I just like, that's my writing style.
That's one of the ways you learned that you didn't think you want to be in a writing room because we tried to introduce you to a white writer's room style.
Okay. Well, the reason that I wanted to write in TV, I was like, oh, I work really well under deadlines. Like because TV, they tell you it's like, you know, it's happening. You got to get this shit done. And I thought, well, I work great under that. You know, I went to college. I wrote papers the night before all the time. Like I could that would really light a fire under me. But also it's like, we have friends that work in writer's rooms and it's like really rough. It's like the hours are not conducive to a family life. Like, unless you have a really great showrunner. And I just kind of changed my mind about that. And I was like, you know what? I'd like to just work from my home office a couple days a week. And like, I'd have to set my own deadlines and maybe like collaborate with people that we know to like, so that I have, you know, I'm like on task, right? Mm-hmm. And not just staring at the blank screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other goals?
I've always wanted to, over the years, just working as a nanny, you know, I've been in and out of people's homes and I've done some kind of weird, I've seen some weird things. I have, you know, I have had some, you know, my 20s were kind of rough and I've always like kept like memoirs. So like, I've to kind of talk to you about this, that I would like to write maybe a book of essays or something someday, but you know, nobody really knows who I am. So they probably wouldn't buy it.
I think you only got to sell like 10 books to be,
but you can like just, you can actually make your, I mean, you could just self-publish. Mm-hmm. Just to have like our friend, I'm trying to think of, we have lots of friends that have books out and every time, that's the thing to me, that every time I see someone put a book out, I'm like, oh, that's, that just get, you know, that feeling where you're like kind of jealous, envious. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the word is. Envious, I guess, because you're happy for your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, no, that's the bad one. Envy, right? I don't know. I'm so tired. I can't think. But that's the, you know, they say when you feel that kind of pull.
Jealousy is a map.
Jealousy. So like our friend Sona, for example, Conan's assistant, she put out that book. I bought it. I don't have time to read it, but I was like, oh, she's killing it. Like, and every time one of our friends puts out a book, I'm like, oh, I would love to do that. But no,
I always see, oh my God, that must've been so much work and you probably didn't get paid much.
That's true. Yeah. And it's really, I mean, people don't read books. They tend to want the audio books.
I remember because the last time I was jealous about that was like over a decade ago. I think when Moshe Kasher wrote his book, Kasher in the Rye. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Nah, yeah.
Nah. You and should write a book.
No, because it takes like 6 months and you get like 10 grand.
I think, okay, you guys would buy Ron's book, right?
Nobody,
if he wrote about, no, you have a beautiful
Who's
story.
Who's going to read a book?
Comment on the Instagram if you would buy Ron's book, because I think you're wrong. I think people would buy it, but they, I mean,
what's it so interesting?
They listen to the audiobook for sure. They love
what's
your voice.
What's interesting about me, a guy who grew up in inner city Chicago, who had a single mom and then didn't live well and got moved around and was in two abusive households and then had a wife that we had a bad relationship and then had being a single dad of a son with autism and making $7,000 in a year and then now having two offices and 7 full size arcade machines. I don't know if I told you, but there's another arcade machine coming Monday.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like, like, you know, you're hosting game shows and you're on like Celebrity Wheel of Fortune and our family's on Family Feud. And like, you get to do all these amazing things and you come from that kind of, you've been through some stuff. I think people would love to hear about that. And like, you talk about your show all the time, like, how, you know, it was very frustrating to you. You couldn't get your show made. And I think, and people tell him, please, because I tell him this all the time, that there's another way to get your story out that I think people would really be interested in because you have a beautiful story and like people know who you are. So, right.
Yeah. Man, I always say, I feel like you have your story and then you let it go because it's not supposed to shape your whole life.
No, but I think that's one of the reasons. I think that's one of the reasons this podcast, I mean, we have a smaller audience, but one of the reasons it impacts people so much is because they, unfortunately, like when people get stuck and they're, you know, in a dark place, they want to hear like, oh, I was there too. I was there one day and now look where I am. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on your mood. Sometimes you don't want
sometimes to. Sometimes you're like,
fuck
that guy.
Yeah, I don't. Fuck you. You think because you did that, you think I couldn't do it? Fuck you, dog.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dog. That's what you get sometimes, you know. I feel like more and more lately, we, you know, especially, do you feel that, and we got to wrap up soon, but I know, do you feel like since we moved to the newer house that people look at us a little differently? Because I think so.
I think so. I think it's hard because we do have people around us who are still trying to get there. But what they don't see is how hard you work. Like, you know, yes, you are very positive and you make vision boards and you do all this kind of stuff, but you're also putting in the work. And I think that's what people maybe don't recognize is how hard you're working behind the scenes.
Mm, yeah. Until you get here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. It's like, you know, because, especially with my demeanor, I feel a lot of people are like, oh, it's chill.
Yeah, he's just chill. He just hangs out.
His manager probably just is real good and hooked him up with everything.
Oh, my God. You guys, like, I have been, because I'm so sleep deprived, I have to check Ron's schedule, like, pretty much every couple hours to see if something has been added or if something's changed, because I'll come down to find him and he's gone. And I'm like, I don't even know where he is. Like, oh, he's doing a voiceover or he's got a show tonight or he's leaving for San Diego this weekend. And I didn't know that until just like before the podcast. Like he's doing a lot of things. And, but I think, yeah, there's, and I mean, you talk about this a lot on the podcast. It's like you have to be positive. You have to believe. You have to do all the woo-woo shit, but you also have to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And the things have to line up.
Yeah. So I always said, talked about this with Blair Reason, because she was like, oh, I feel like I'm delusional. And I was like, that's part of the job, is to be delusional. And then you just have to outwork right? your delusion.
Yeah.
When things are bad is when people are delusional and they don't do anything.
Yeah.
They just stay in that thing, wishing things are different. And then that gulf between what could be and what is makes stress in your life.
Ooh. Are you going to ask me about my advice?
Yeah, wrapping up. That's okay, what happened.
I have one.
Okay.
That I think relates good. To that. It's a good segue.
Well, okay. Then here we go. That we're ending. You know how we end the really podcast well. Is by asking for a piece of advice, a pearl of wisdom, something that maybe you learned long ago from your grandma, or maybe something that you can just happen upon recently in our recent arguments. Mm-hmm. Just whatever. it is to help our getting better community to get better.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't even know if you know that I do. Well, you know, I do this, but I don't think I coined this term. I think I maybe stole it from somewhere. So we'll just, but the advice will work for you. Okay. So, you know, like when you're having like kind of a shitty day and you're like, oh, I haven't done anything today. And like, I've eaten like crap and like, haven't gotten any writing done. And like diet starts Monday, you know, like everybody kind of does that. And then the day is just like a write-off. And, even when I was back and so lonely in my little Vancouver apartment, and I was like, oh, Christina, like just write something, like do something, like stop, like, you know, going to the corner store and getting all the junk food and like just being ridiculous, like do something. So I started to do this thing. And I, like, again, I probably stole this from somewhere, 'cause I like to read like some self-help kind of books, but, I call it a save the day. And it's basically like, you know, 'cause if you have a really long list, Google Keep, my favorite. If you have a long list of things that you're trying to get done in one day and you're just feeling like, oh my God, like I haven't done anything. Just do one thing. And we've had to do this with the baby, everything that's going on with the baby right now. It's like a lot. So I have all these things on my list I want to do. And like, you know, say you've eaten like garbage all day. Well, then like maybe drink a lot of water, or like have a salad for dinner, or like go for a walk, or write one page, write one paragraph, but do like one thing that like when you put your head down on the pillow at night, you can be like, okay, this day wasn't a waste. And it's like, I call it a save the day. It saves the day. And it'll help you get some momentum going, because you don't like, our time is very precious. And mm-hmm. I'm not talking about those like people who are having like a really rough go of it. Like if you're going through a depression or anxiety or something, like get medication. I'm talking about just those shitty days when you need a little something to just feel good about, you know?
Yeah. And something that my therapist Donna would always say is like just when you back your car into a pole, like some of those, you have good days. And some days you're like, oh, I backed my car into a pole. But if you back your car into a pole, you don't keep hitting the gas in reverse. You you stop and you put it in drive and you undo the damage and you go get things fixed. And that's what a lot of that is. Do you want to promote anything?
I would love to. I don't have anything to promote of my own, but I am wearing, I don't know if you guys know, because it's Canadian Thanksgiving on Monday. This is going to air.
Never done a podcast
before. It's my first podcast, guys. I was just on camera for the first time this year when we did Family Feud, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. give me a break. But
it's always a very easy going for me.
Anyway, okay. So Canadian Thanksgiving is on Monday. And I think this episode's going to be out for Canadian Thanksgiving. And I am wearing... my Mr. Dress-Up shirt. I don't know if I turn around so you can see it. Can you see it?
Yes.
So this is from Retro Kid. This is our friend Eric has a company called Retro Kid. And sorry, I'm new at this. He's from Toronto area, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's also the voice of Bugs Bunny, which is like very impressive. But he's got this really cool company and, you know, TV Ontario back in the 80s and 90s was just, it was popping. It was like, we had really good TV shows for kids. And, so he's got, I have a raccoons, one. He just did a Degrassi drop and it, ooh, I want that varsity jacket, the Degrassi one. And he's,
I thought you ordered it.
I didn't order it. Cause I just bought one, but if I had known, but I might still, I don't know. I've never wanted a piece of clothing more than I wanted that jacket. Mm. So, but anyway, Retro Kid.
Okay. Just wanted to promote Eric. All right.
Well, I don't, should we promote some of your stuff?
I'm in the intro. I will in the intro. So that's fine. Lou Apple, Apple TV Plus.
I would like to promote, Teddy. Okay. He's really cute. And, he's the best.
Yeah. But you can't see him.
But some people can see him. We're figuring it out.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank
I really
you for
enjoy.
Having me.
I think it's really good because we haven't got a chance to talk for like an hour and a half.
I know.
Like
this is
in a long great. Time, especially without us getting into an argument. So this has been very refreshing and nice. And I love you very much.
I
hope
you.
To continue. To do fun things and go to fun places and argue and grow and change and raise Teddy and just be good partners and stuff because, you know, it's not perfect. It's fun. We're both very severe people in different ways that are both complementary and in some ways very opposite that make you go, how is this possible?
Well, I will give you, because you love praise, I'm going to give you a little bit more praise, but you, I think you're good. You push me out of my comfort zone a lot. And even asking me to do the podcast is that's out of my comfort zone, asking me to do Family Feud, that kind of thing. And so I think that's something that I really like about you too, is you're very supportive and encouraging and you're just a loving, lovely guy.
Thank you very much. I love that. Thank you for saying that.
He loves praise.
I do love praise. It's my love language, praise and gift. But, you know, I buy everything myself, so it's hard to get me
it's
gifts.
It's true. I can't. My love language, what did we decide? Mine was quality time.
Yeah.
And that's
and I
hard
don't have
because
any of
he
that.
Doesn't have any time. Mm-mm. And I don't have, if he wants to buy something, he's just going to buy it himself. So the love languages are tricky for us.
It's difficult, but we fake it. We make it work. We'll see. I love it. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys for listening. Bye.